I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later on Soundbites with Sauce Magazine, we're going to meet Chef Lou Rook and talk to him about his career and his new cookbook, Rook Cooks, Simplicity at its Finest. And the St. Louis Symphony has announced its new season last night, and later, President Fred Bronstein is going to join us. But first, stand-up comedian Paula Poundstone is known to many from her comedy specials and other television appearances, not to mention her role as a regular panelist on NPR's news quiz show, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. She's also been a guest on A Prairie Home Companion, and there are those commentaries on Morning Edition. Well, she'll be appearing Saturday evening at the Sheldon in Grand Center, and she joins us now on the phone from her home in Santa Monica, California. Paula Poundstone, welcome to Cityscape.
Hey, thanks so much.
And I heard a rumor that you just got back from indoor rock climbing.
I was indoor rock climbing. Yeah. They have fake, you know, they have walls that are, you know, plastered to look like mountainsides, and then they screw in these, you know, various size hand and foot holds, some that are quite small, almost imperceptible in my opinion, and others that are larger. And anyways, yeah, I'm trying to do about once a week. And, you know, I watch these really fit guys in there just hauling themselves up these walls in a matter of seconds. But you try doing that with my body. I think I have the bigger challenge.
Well, I know a little bit about your body.
All right.
No, wait, let me clarify that. You wouldn't remember, but I met you at a party in St. Louis that the Gateway Men's Chorus had for you before you had a show here. I don't know, was that like...
That was a fun night.
Yeah, wasn't that a great party?
It was a great party. And the chorus was fantastic.
Yeah. So, back to your body.
Yeah, back to my body. Yeah. Well, I have essentially the same one, maybe a little larger now. And it does make, because, you know, you do most of the climbing is supposed to be in your legs.
Right.
And, you know, so basically, you know, you're hauling some cargo when you're me. And there's cargo in those cargo pants.
No, there's not. You're a small person.
Well, but not when you're pushing it up a fake rock face.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm telling you, the guys who are in there climbing all the time are just, you know, they're like rubber bands with, you know, with appendages. Speaking of which, did you hear on the news yesterday that there's some kids at a school lost their fingers playing tug of war? Did you read that or hear that?
No, I missed that.
Yeah. They said that they had the rope wrapped around their hands, which is, of course, poor technique. But... Yeah, lost their fingers playing tug of war. And they said also it's happened before, not to those same kids, because that would just be idiocy. But, like, I've never heard of a tug of war injury.
Not like a
phalange loss from, it was a fun game. We used to play it. What is the matter with kids that now they do it wrong?
They'd be safer if they were doing rock climbing, wouldn't they?
I didn't lose any finger. Oh, look, I've heard of people having horrible rock climbing injuries, but not me. It shocked me. It just shocked me. I thought, what else can't we do anymore? You know, did you hear about the new Monopoly piece?
No, I didn't.
They're going to come up with a new Monopoly piece, and so apparently they've decided it's going to be a cat.
Oh well.
To me, is not a good idea at all, because it's all fun and games till the peeing begins.
Now, well, you know all about that.
I do know all about that. I have 16 cats, and I have 16 cats, two German Shepherd mixed dogs, a bearded dragon lizard, a lop-eared bunny, and one ant left from my ant farm.
Not to mention the three kids, I think, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of cats, I have to ask you about that. Well, number one, do people think like you're one of those crazy cat ladies?
They used to, until I got the dogs. And now I'm an animal lover. You know, it just takes that one little adjustment.
Well,
In fact, it's really part of the reason I have the dogs. They're kind of beards. otherwise, people do think, you know, if you have 16 cats, then you're a crazy cat lady. But if you sprinkle in some dogs, a bearded dragon lizard, and a lop-eared bunny, you're just an animal lover.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No sanity involved at all.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, since you brought...
People always say to me, they go, do you watch Hoarders? Which is kind of an insulting thing to say, because clearly they are accusing me of having such a condition. And the truth is, A, no, I don't watch Hoarders because I'm busy cleaning up after my cats. And B, do I probably have some weird animal hoarding thing? Yeah, probably. But I'm making it work.
Hey, listen, you mentioned cats. I went to your website yesterday, paulapoundstone.com, and I learned a lot of interesting things about you. But since you bring up, you have this cam that's focused on your cat's feeding area.
I do. I have a 24-hour webcam on my cat's food and water bowls. And I'll tell you, it's been enlightening because my cat Matilda, who's probably, I think she's about 19 pounds now. You know, I used to feel sorry for her and think maybe she had some sort of, you know, slow metabolism or some sort of physical problem that was causing this. But no, having watched the diner cam while I'm on the road, she's simply at the bowl more than the other cats. Well, Matilda, no stranger to the bowl.
Well, I wonder which one I saw. Let me tell you my experience. There was a ceramic bowl, and there was also like a glass, looked like a baking pan, maybe?
It is a baking pan. We use it for the water dish, and then we light it from underneath.
Well, you know, I almost didn't click it on because I thought, how silly of me to watch this, but of course I did. It wasn't 20 seconds before a cat came on. It was a black and white, I think. Do you know which one that was?
Well, it could be either, probably my cat Oreo, who obviously the children named. I had to take over the animal naming at a certain point because they said to the kids, you know what, you're going to be off at college and I'm going to be stuck with Fluffy. So, yeah, but it might have been my cat Oreo. And then I have another black and white cat named Wednesday who's very furtive, just never lets me pet her, never lets me do anything except pay for her food and sift her waste. But could have been either. Could have been either one.
Well, you know, I was thinking, I was glad it was on the cat's feeding bowls and not on the, you know, kitty litter pan. I appreciate by the way. I appreciate it.
The reason I wouldn't have it on the kitty litter pan is, okay, A, it would be repulsive, but B, we have it sort of where it is to sort of protect the family's privacy. We don't, you know, we don't want us on the camera all the time. We want the cats. And, if we put it in the litter box area, I would be on camera most of the time. Because I probably spend, I shouldn't say most of the time, but I spend a solid hour and a half cumulatively throughout the day sifting litter boxes. Because we have 16 cats, and if I didn't, we'd have really a situation. So I actually have a callus on my hand. Some might think from indoor rock climbing, but no. From sifting litter boxes. It's a glamorous life. The other night I was hosting the Art Directors Guild Awards here in Los Angeles at the fancy Beverly Hilton, and I was in my tuxedo ready to go, and I was waiting for the car to pick me up, and I had to run over and sift first. And I just thought as I'm doing it, like I'm all, you know, got my hair all nice and everything, I'm thinking, you know, is this what people imagine? Is this what I imagined my life would be? It's, not really.
I'd like you to answer that question.
It is not what I imagined my life would be. I was hoping I'd have a larger staff. I don't know if you remember the movie Remains of the Day, but I was hoping for something along those lines.
Well, listen, with 16 cats, 3 dogs, I think you said, some kids, what's home life like for you?
It's very chaotic. I spend a lot of time with a damp rag in my hand, it's chaotic the way I like it, I guess, because in truth, it's not like I got knocked up and had kids. It was that I adopted, and therefore it was pretty planned. So I think I purposely created a life that's pretty chaotic. It makes it, you know, it makes it. Exciting. I do a lot of homework, for example, because we did so much fighting about homework in years past that this year I came up with a new system, which is I just do their homework.
Is that a good thing?
It's, you know what, far less arguing. They're they never lie about homework anymore because they know I'm just going to do it. So there's no reason to lie. So the grades are better. And, you know, they'll even throw in an extra credit project here and there. You know, so they're really doing very well in school.
Well, let me throw this out at you. We asked our Twitter followers if they had any questions for you, and we did get a tweet from Casey I want to share with you. And he wanted to know, and he's referring to your work on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He wants to know how much, if any, of your lines on the show are scripted or planned. Because, you know, you're known for, you know, improvising. So how much is scripted?
The only part that is scripted, they tell us ahead of time the topic for the bluff story. There's a little game called Bluff the Listener. One of us, there's 3 panelists, for those who don't know. One of us reads a true story, an unlikely but true story from the news. And the other two of us are given you know, we're told the topic, and we have to write a story, you know, write it up. They generally, we get it like the night before. So that we have ahead of time. And we're obviously reading as we, you know, as we do that section. And also the prediction at the end of the show, you know, where they go, well, panelists, if any of those things happen, we'll tell you next week. But wait, don't tell me. That prediction, we know, they tell us the question for the prediction, which we make up. They usually tell us, like, just before we go on.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, nothing. I mean, we obviously know it's based on the week's news, so it is possible for someone to think of jokes about the week's news and then tell them. I don't think any of us do. From my perspective, that would require work.
Oh, so forget that, yeah.
I think it's really fun to just have it be kind of a free-for-all. And I think everybody else feels the same way. You know, none of us are particularly egocentric about one or the other piling on their jokes. So if, you know, if somebody throws out an idea, we all kind of just jump on it. And I always feel it's like being a batter in a batting cage. You know, you get kind of lobbed these topics. And, you know, every now and then I just watch it go by. Sometimes I swing and miss. And, you know, I'm pleased to say every so often I get a little piece of it.
For sure. Listen, I'm curious about something. You have a really busy touring schedule, and since you travel everywhere, do you sense that what people find funny is the same wherever you go? Do you think that's true?
Well, I think I attract a particular kind of a crowd, and so I think that we kind of have that in common already, and so it's less directed by region. I think that there are people who share, you know, my sense of humor in every region. So, yeah, I don't find it as regional. Besides which, you know, we're all exposed to the same. We're not all as different as we like to believe we are from place to place.
Right.
We're all exposed to the same media. And so some of those, you know, if I was doing this job back during the covered wagon days, then it would be true that, you know, one region simply didn't get something that someplace else did. Like, you know, boy, they don't get those ocean jokes. you know, not so much now that we're, you know, all the boundaries have been tramped over.
Right. We sort of all live in the same community, it seems like. But let me put it this way then. Do you get more from some audiences than others? I know from a little bit of acting I've done, sometimes certain audiences laugh at some jokes, the next night they don't.
Yeah, but I can never predict when or what that will be. You know, there are nights where the crowd just feels on fire, you know. It's funny, you know, I mean, I happen to work to just the greatest crowds. Back when I did shows in clubs where it was like an MC and a middle act and a headliner, which fortunately I no longer do, but back when I did do that, guys would kill to work with me, not because I'm such a stroll in the park to be with, but because they wanted to work to my audience. And so I really do every show have, like, you know, people who are very, very responsive. Once you're at that sort of level of having already very responsive crowds, are there some that are more responsive than others? Yeah, but again, it's not dictated by region. It can be even dictated by, say, for example, if you were in San Francisco and it was a sunny day out, the crowd might be a little listless because they have such infrequent sunny days. And if it's sunny on a Saturday, then people have gone out and been outdoor active in a way that they're not normally.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it kind of took it out of them a little bit. And so, you know, little things like that. And I have absolutely no influence over the sun.
Are you sure?
And therefore, I don't much worry about it. But there are, like, little teeny silly, you know, details that can sometimes influence a crowd. My favorite part of the night is talking to the audience. I do the time-honored, where are you from, what do you do for a living?
Uh-huh.
And in this way, you know, little biographies emerge, and then I kind of use that to set my sails to decide, you know, what to talk about next, and I kind of weave it, you know, back and forth through the people that I've been talking to, and so each crowd kind of has its own personality in that way. And I do get just the greatest audience members.
Well, obviously, you know, the interacting with the audience and the feedback's really important to you. I always wondered why you didn't do more acting. I think you did a movie back in the 80s, but a lot of comedians go into acting, and you haven't done that. Is that because the audience, interacting with the audience, is really important to you?
Well, it's that and also just sort of life circumstances. I mean, those schedules... let me just say in the first place, no one's banging my door down. No one's like, you know, pleading with me to be in their movie. But also just the scheduling of that kind of thing is really hard. And my youngest is 14, and I just, you know, I have to finish my work there. I'm hoping that by the time he's, in college, there'll be some older women roles that Betty White isn't doing, and I'll join in. I mean, I love Bridesmaids so much. I watched that movie. I've watched it many times, and I think, boy, what a hoot it would be to be able to, be in a ensemble kind of thing like that where you can improvise. I would have a great time.
Paula Poundstone is performing at the Sheldon tomorrow. That's Saturday night, 7:30. You can go to MetroTix for tickets, 534-1111, or go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link. And I understand, Paula, are you working on a second book?
I am working on a second book, incredibly slowly. But I am working on a second book. And, I'm not a writer for a living, so I always sort of fit it into the cracks of my life and... There's not that many cracks, but my first book took 9 years. This one I think I'm going to bring in under that, but not by much.
And one more thing I want to mention before we let you go is that libraries are very important for you, and you're the national spokesperson for a library association. And I know you do a lot of work sometimes to promote local libraries where you are.
I think, you know, some people seem to believe that they're somehow obsolete. I would challenge that for a variety of reasons, you know, not the least of which they have books in them. Our library has, it has homework space, like little study rooms that you can, you know, sign up for. It has a program where a volunteer program where adults teach other adults to read. It has a lecture series. It has, you know, magazines, DVDs, CDs, computers, and books, and people, by the way, who know how to access information that work there. They're called librarians, and so I still, and it has other human beings.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm still all for it.
Paula Poundstone is at the Sheldon Saturday night. Paula, I'll look forward to seeing you again, and happy rock climbing. And thanks so much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. Bye bye. Coming up next on Cityscape, Chef Lou Rook on Soundbites, and later we'll have a preview of the St. Louis Symphony's new season. This is St. Louis Public Radio.